That study he mentioned about the movie's ability to shape our political views is by two Notre Dame researchers who theorize that because viewers see movies as entertainment rather than news, they're less skeptical and more susceptible to their political messages. Jeremy Castle, a postdoctoral fellow at the University of Notre Dame, was one of the study's co-authors. Another surprising thing he learned, since the 50s, the research on political communication largely ignored Hollywood movies.
People just assumed that because they had found very little effects for campaign advertising, that there would be very little effects for television in the movies as they got to be more popular in the 70s and 80s.
Oh, so they never studied movies at all. They just extrapolated from the fact that political ads didn't have much of an impact.
Exactly.
Wow. But there have been a few studies on specific movies. Can you give me a few examples?
Sure. For example, a study of the film The Right Stuff, which features astronaut John Glenn, found that the movie increased support for John Glenn's presidential campaign. Likewise, a study on Malcolm X found that after watching the film, it increased viewers' racial consciousness.
And then there was the Cider House Rules, which takes place in the first half of the 20th century in rural Maine and involves a rural hospital. And apparently that shifted views as well.
Yes, and it's one of the first examples in the scholarly literature of a popular movie, a movie that's made for entertainment purposes and not necessarily a political docudrama, changing people's attitudes on the controversial issue of abortion.
If you expect people to be responsible for their children, you have to give them the right to decide whether or not to have children. Wouldn't you agree?
How about expecting people to be responsible enough to control themselves to begin with?
After the film, the researchers found that the viewers leaned more pro-choice.
What did your study focus on?
We wanted to look at healthcare, and keep in mind we were studying healthcare in 2010 and 2011 as Congress was working their way through the Affordable Care Act. And what we found was that after viewing the movies As Good As It Gets, starring Jack Nicholson, and The Rainmaker, which is all about healthcare, the students in our experiment became more liberal on some questions involving healthcare reform.
What were the plot points of those films?
In As Good As It Gets, we referred to this in our study as our subtle treatment, because healthcare plays only a minor role in the film. Jack Nicholson's character pays for some healthcare for the female lead's son. In The Rainmaker, however, we referred to this as our explicit treatment, in that the whole movie is about the insurance industry trying to deny coverage to a young man.
I hope that you are astonished, as I am, at the lengths to which a wealthy insurance company like the defendant will go to take money from a low-income family and then keep it by denying a legitimate claim.
That's a John Grisham film, right?
Yes.
Lately, a number of movies have caused some grumbling about Hollywood's leftist bias. When the third Batman came out, it had a bad guy named Bane, and conservatives said that Hollywood was getting back at Mitt Romney because he ran a company called Bane. And even the Lego movie got people up in arms, right? How come?
The accusation was that the main antagonist is a character named President Business, who's played by Will Ferrell. And President Business, it was said, set a bad example in depicting members of the business community as being evil.
On Taco Tuesday, I'm going to craggleize the entire universe so that everyone will stop messing with my stuff!
It was speculated that some of President Business's facial features and hair resembled Mitt Romney.
Okay, so let's jump to 13 Hours. It straddles the line between docudrama and straight-up entertainment, and Fox has been all over it, talking about what a brilliant film it is, even though it hasn't been successful at the box office. Can you speculate on the kind of political influence a movie like this can have on political views? Because even though all of the studies have found no wrongdoing, it is still very much a live issue, particularly in this political season.
of course, on the Republican Party's side, and many Republican voters truly believe that there was wrongdoing in Benghazi, and political psychology suggests that those people will be more interested in hearing that side of the argument, just as liberals may be more interested in hearing the side of the argument that supports their interpretation of the story.
These days, it seems awfully easy for Americans to regulate their media diet to align with their politics, basically only watching the TV news that supports their point of view. The movie theater, however, is a much less political space. Do you see that changing?
So it'll be interesting to see in the future how movie-going audiences change and if there's enough of an audience among conservatives or among liberals to create movies tailored to their individual tastes.
Well, so far, not a lot of people have gone to see 13 Hours. We have no way to know whether that's just because they're sick of Benghazi or they're sick of Michael Bay.
It's a difficult question. The average American doesn't really like political conflict, and that's one of the reasons that public approval of Congress is so low right now. And so my suspicion is that there are a lot of people who are turned off by the idea that this may be a political movie or that there may be political content in here and that maybe they do want to stay home and avoid that.
Jeremy, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Jeremy Castle is a postdoctoral fellow in the Political Science Department at the University of Notre Dame.
Coming up. Hey, did you know that that Congressman Bernie Sanders is running for president?
He is? This is On the Media.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI, to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.